Good morning, councillors. The mayor advises the meeting members of the public that council meetings, not including closed sessions, are audio recorded and published on council's website. We've got a fairly big program today, so we'll keep moving. The morning tea is 9:45. Lunch will be 12:30 to 1:15. Masks are optional, they're not a requirement, but it's up to each and every individual. That's mostly the house rules for today. I acknowledge the traditional owners of this land that has mainly an Aboriginal people, past, present and future. Present, we have Deputy Mayor Allwright, Councillor Honour, Councillor Poore, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Bailey, Councillor Campbell, General Manager Ian Isles, Deputy General Manager Adam Wilson, and we have Dr. Meg.
And we've got Scott has leave of absence.
And apologies is Scott, Councillor Scott Bowden is still on leave of absence.
He's 2.5 kilometres away.
What was that?
He's 2.5 kilometres away.
Scotty?
Anthony's.
Oh, Anthony. Yeah. Councillor Archer's on his way. Thank you. Okay. 5. Pecuniary interest declarations. In accordance with Regulation 87 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the Mayor requests councillors to indicate whether they or a close associate have or likely to have a pecuniary interest, any pecuniary or pecuniary detriment or conflict of interest in any item on the agenda. Councillor Paul.
Item 1710, Historical Society. Requesting a letter be sent to Queen Vic. I am a member of the Historical Society and on that basis I will not vote.
Very good. You can sit back from the table when voting. Thank you. Any other pecuniary? No other? No? Very good. Okay. 6. We shall now move into the closed session of the meeting. Regulation 15.1 of Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015 states that at a meeting, a council by absolute majority or a council committee by simple majority may close a part of the meeting to the public for a reason specified in sub-regulation 2. As per Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, this motion requires an absolute majority. Councillor Campbell, Councillor Honour. Moved by Councillor Campbell, second by Councillor Honour. 4 against it. Absolute majority. And I would like to ask you,
can I go that way?
Is the room out?
Just go into the table.
So the room, go back to the airport.
Yep, thank you. I'll now open the meeting to the public. Due to COVID-19, still we have a limit of 4 members of the public at any one time, will be advised. Just a reminder to councillors, when I put the recommendation, I have a mover and a seconder. Once moved and seconded, the chair will ask each councillor whether they are for or against the motion, and then each councillor's name and vote for the motion can be recorded. Under the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 15, Section 22.2, a councillor at a council meeting may speak once to a motion at any time after the motion's been moved or seconded. I normally allow you to speak once, twice or 20 times. So we need to cut it back a little bit, try to keep it back to at least, you know, speaking twice I think is a very fair call. So anyway, our deputation today, number 7, was Anthony McConnon to update the council. Well, here's an apology. So we will be having Jackie Kilman speaking on the Clyde River at 10:30, and then we will be having Yvonne Miller from the Hamilton Show Hall of Industry. She wants to have a chat to us. So we have a couple of deputations to happen. And what we'll do, we'll move in now to 7.1 public question time. There's no one in the area, so we're all good. Mayoral commitments is 8. 8.1 councillor commitments. 8 status report councillors. 8.2 general managers commitments. 8.3, Deputy General Manager's commitments. 9, notification of council workshops held. 9.1, future workshops, iPad workshop date to be confirmed. iPad workshop. Simon Josie from the Ooze Online Access Centre is available to undertake the iPad training for council, provided it's on a Friday and at the Hamilton Hall. Simon's not available the first Friday of every month due to the Highland Digest. So we'll have a little think about when we might like that iPad training. Are you still very interested in the iPad training, councillors?
Yes, please.
Yes, please. Okay, so will we leave the training till April, May? What's your thoughts around the table?
How about next year?
Next year.
I got April, May, and just said it's set up.
Well, April's not Easter, it's
possibly a day when we have another workshop.
So we'll discuss it next meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep that one in mind.
You're much better than me.
Oh, I have a narrow announcement for councillors. The Veterans Affairs Association of Australia, I attended their Aitutaki retreat on the 17th of February at Dago Point, Lake Sorrel, and we were presented, council were presented with this. It's a certificate of appreciation that I thought I'd present today, and for the President Terry Rowe, sends a special thank you to all council, and we will give it to our general manager to display.
Can I just hand it around, please?
You can hand it around. So I thought that was very, very nice.
What was our input? Can you remind me again what we contributed?
We have for some years now supported the Veterans Association. Do you know how much contribution? I mean, I don't have it off the top of my head, but we are constant supporters. When they need something, they come to us.
But we didn't actually physically contribute anything to that building this time.
Not to my understanding, no. So, a special thank you from the Vietnam Vets. All good. All right, we'll go into 11, it's a minute. 11.1, receive the draft notice of the meeting of council 15th of February. Mover, please. Councillor Honour, Councillor Four. Four against, that is carried. Confirmation of draft minutes, ordinary meeting of the 15th of February, Councillor Campbell, Councillor Bailey, for, against, that is carried. Receive the draft minutes, independent living unit meeting, Councillor Bailey moved, seconded, Councillor Honour, for, against, carried. 11.4, receive the draft minutes, audit panel, held on the 28th of February, be received. May I have a mover, please? Councillor Allwright.
Why can't you?
Councillor Caspi, why can't you?
It's only received.
On the property, isn't it?
It's received.
Yeah, it's only received, and we're not ordinance.
I've got Councillor Allwright.
Okay.
Councillor Cassidy.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. 4, carried. Right. 11.5, receive or draft minutes, Waste Committee. Councillor Paul moved. Second, Councillor Honour. 4, against, that is carried. Business arising, you have a whole list there. Durban Catchment Project Report is 13. That the Durban Catchment Project monthly report be received. See attachment page 31. We've done that. Mover, please. Councillor Honour, seconder. Was that you, Councillor Archer? Did you have a hand up?
What's the PD, the position description? What's the other one?
Clear.
Sorry?
Clear.
Oh, great.
Move, Councillor Honour, second, Councillor Archer, 4, against, carry. Alrighty. Finance report, 14, finance report. You were all with that. May I have a mover, please? Councillor 4, Councillor Cassidy.
I've got a quick query on that, ma'am.
Yes.
I must have missed, I can't find it in any of the previous agendas, minutes in the donation for grants as a bursary for $300 to a young person, I'm presuming. What's that bursary for?
Higher education bursary.
Okay, do they just apply for that?
Yes, I've got to provide evidence that they've enrolled in further education and they then issue them with the cheque.
And it doesn't have to come to council?
No.
Yep, that's right. So that was moved by Councillor Corr, second by Councillor Cassidy. For, against, or carried? So no other questions on the finance report? No. And if we have anything on the agenda items, we are supposed to contact the relevant officer prior to the meeting. 15 is development and environmental services. May I have a mover, please? Councillor Honor, seconder. Councillor Corr, those four. Against, that are carried. Welcome, Brian. In accordance with Regulation 2515 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulation 2015, the Mayor advises that the Council intends to act as a planning authority under the Land Use Planning and Improvements Act 1993 to deal with the following items. Welcome, 15.1. Over to you, Brian. It's the Southern Tasmanian Council Society Regional Climate Change Initiative Draft Regional Strategy.
Right, thank you, Mayor.
Any councillors? The recommendation is that councillors provide their comments on the draft regional strategy adapting to a changing Tasmanian coastline to the general manager by Friday, the 25th of March, 2022, so that a council can provide comments to the Southern Tasmanian Council Society. Do you have any comments on that, Graham?
No, I don't even know why it's on.
Okay. Good point.
Yeah, if you like Tasman trying to do comments on the Great Lake.
Thank you.
So, not enough
that makes, that's exactly what I was thinking. So
do we budget to put a jetty out the
front here? Councillor Corr moves, seconded please. Councillor Honor, four. Against, that is carried. 15.2. This is the Central Highlands Draft Local Division Schedule.
Okay. This is the one that that you councillors and the planning department have been trying to work with our local divisions to do with the rural and the agricultural areas. Damien was going to be here today, but he sent an email on Friday. I think that's probably somewhere, probably stood around the car. But he's asked for a quote for consultants to deal with doing the valuation so we can put it to the TPC.
So that's an agricultural consultant.
Yes, yeah, correct. So the experts in that field, so we can then supply the TPC with that information to help our cause to try and have these changed. They cannot get to it within 4 months and they haven't supplied a quote as yet. So Damien's hoping that we can get the quote before the next meeting for consideration for the councillors to decide whether we go ahead with these consultants to do the work. But even if they can, it's going to be 4 months. So Damien's hoping that when we get the quote to do it, he can then send off the date when maybe the consultants can do the work. Best scenario would be that the TPC says, well, we can't wait that amount of time, we have to address it now under what we've actually put in. That won't happen. That won't happen. You can't see that happening. But that would be our best scenario. If that doesn't happen, obviously, then we're 4 months down the track. That'll have to be done and they'll have to set it back to 4 months. At this minute, what Damien had put in there for recommendation is we'll just sit on that and wait for the quotes to come back and bring it to the next meeting.
So the recommendation is that pending receipt of quotes and timeframes from suitably qualified agricultural consultants to undertake a review of the allocation of the rural and agricultural zones.
Yes. so we'll bring that back to the next meeting consideration.
Okay, so can I ask Graham a question? Who were the consultants?
Don't off the top of my head, he just said qualified consultants.
See, last time we went through this, that was with this interim plan scheme, and I'm pretty sure you were here. I've got Professor Richard Dorr from the university, he's a soil scientist, and he mapped all this area in the 60s and 70s with the CSIRO. I don't think he charges anything.
Well, that'd be handy. But anyway, we'll liaise.
So depending what the outcome of all this is, talk to me. I know him, so I could probably get a bit of a report out of him. He actually did soil mapping of this whole area and the whole municipality in the 60s and 70s. He's at the University of Tasmania.
Yeah, well, if you can send me that information, I'll forward it on to Damien and we'll talk about that.
Yeah, well, I'll do that.
But at the moment, it's just been put back until we receive a quote and then 4 months down the track. So
did you move that, Councillor Warnock?
Well, I can move that, yeah.
Second by Councillor Campbell. Councillor Cassidy.
Yes, sir. Good morning, Graham. I'd like to ask, is there any possibility? It seems to me that the TPC is trying to ramrod this thing through, rush it through. I'm not sure exactly why they want to do that, but perhaps we ought to be considering a deferral for 4 months. If we defer for 4 months, that's where you get the work done.
And, I'm sure most of the councils that have been dealing with this would have liked more time to do things. That hasn't happened. We're in the lap of the gods at the moment, Damien. It will, once he gets his quote, pass it on for the TPC and see if they will give us that extension of time, but that's up to them. I don't think we're going to have much power in asking for a referral.
You don't think there's any value in asking him right now for an extension? This way, something to think about?
I'll leave that up to Damien.
At least ask him a question.
I don't think it happen, but at the moment we'll wait for these quotes to come in and see how Damien goes. He will, as he said in the email, he will forward it on and just let them know that it's going to be 4 months before we can do any work. Whether they allow us that 4 months, I can't.
You're happy with that, Councillor Cassidy?
No, I think we should ask Damien for an extension right now. Based on this information. This way, they're not going to be surprised or they're not going to, they could always come back and say, no, take it or leave it, but I think that's a mistake. To me, you're trying to ramrod the entire process through and you shouldn't do that. So I'd like to foreshadow that recommend that we ask.
So you want this recommendation?
To ask for an extension.
So you don't want this recommendation to go through first? And then you have a motion for an extension. I think we can do it that way, can't we?
I suspect that if we don't ask, they won't give. I think we should at least ask for the extension.
Yes. So first of all, if we put the recommendation that's currently sitting there, that's asking, what's that asking? To undertake a review, that's asking for a review of the allocation of rural and agricultural zones, and my understanding is you've got a separate motion to do with an extension, is that right?
Yes, for 4 months. If it's going to take 4 months, that's
Well, let me put this recommendation, the first recommendation, and then you put your motion forward.
Right.
So the recommendation moved by Councillor Allwright, second by Councillor Campbell, was that pending receipt of quotes and timeframe from suitably qualified agricultural consultants to undertake a review of the allocation of the rural and agricultural zones.
It doesn't seem like it's a finished recommendation.
It's a bit of a different recommendation, but I've put it up now. So moved by Councillor Wright, second by Councillor Campbell. For, is there any against that? Against is Councillor Cassidy. Now, Councillor Cassidy, your motion is?
To request extension of 4 months until we can get the quote and the assessment by the qualified person, whoever that is.
Extension of 4 months. All righty. So you'll remove that, Councillor Cassidy, and second that for the extension. Councillor Archer. All righty.
Well, if I can through the chair, I've just found that email from Damon, so I missed out the top bit, and he said they haven't advised him on how much it is for the quote. When they advise me in writing, I will forward to the TPC and basically put the ball back in their court. They will have to decide if they really want to review our allocation of rural zones or whether they want to delay the meeting for 4 months to allow this to happen. So basically that's what
it's sort of covers it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Councillor Cassidy, do you still want the motion to request the 4 month extension?
Graeme, you're saying really that they're going to do that anyway, is it possible?
Look, is that what they're saying?
Damien's hoping that because of the firm's under the pump and they can't do that proper review for us as professionals, that Damien can say, well, they're going to charge us to do this, but they can't do it for 4 months. Please give us an extra time to do this, another 4 months. So that's in that writing of that letter that he would send to the TPC, and then their board would say, okay, let's give them 4 months, or no, we want to hear it now on what...
I see quite like all its motion then,
about the extension.
Irrespective of whether we decide to go ahead with them or not,
yeah,
whereas Damien's would tie us to using them. So
okay, we'll go ahead with the motion.
Absolutely.
That was moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Archer. Okay, for the motion, Councillor... All right.
Yes. A bit neutral, but fair enough, yeah.
And obviously, Councillor Archer for the motion, Councillor Honour, for the motion, Councillor Paul. Thank you for waiting.
Yeah, wavering. I just don't think it's necessary. I really don't, but I'm neutral on that. I'll go against it. I don't think it's necessary.
Okay, Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Bailey, for?
For.
Councillor?
Yeah.
Kemmel? Kemmel, I called you, sorry. Councillor.
Okay.
That is passed. Carry.
Thanks, Anton.
Okay. 15.3, request the landowner consent to lodge development application Lyle Highway Gretna.
Yes, this is for the fireys down there at Gretna.
Yep.
They do actually say it's pods for storing its shipping containers. Mm. So, yeah, just for storing their... safety gear and other personal things in there, so they've just come to us for the DA application, but we have to, as the authority, authorise that. So the recommendation is the general manager authorised to sign the landowner consent
for that. Moved by Councillor Bailey, second by Councillor Paul. Those four, is there any against? That is carried. Thank you. 15.4, Sheepdog Trials Bottle Recreation Ground. What's that about, Graham?
The Sheepdog Trials have been held there for years at the ground. So the recommendation is that the permission be given for that. There's some A, that should be B, C and D, or AA. Those, and that the council remit the fee for the event to be held.
Okay, mover please. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Campbell.
Madam Mayor.
Was that mover?
Yes, yes. May I say something? I received unbelievably a handwritten letter asking if I would do photography up there, but I'm just going to donate it, okay, if I do it.
That's so, doing that as a photographer.
Yeah, just thought I'd let you, let you know that.
Yes, appreciate that. Those for the motion. Is there anyone against the motion? That motion is...
Mayor, can I just mention something there?
Yeah, sure, you can.
Carmen said that she'd contact the cricket club. What about the football club? What's the go there? Can someone tell me a club that have...
If I can through the chair, at this time of year when this is being held, the cricket club's got to control the rent. The football club hasn't started their lease as such, so I would assume that's why the cricket club has given permission for that, because there's not going to be a fine or whatever held on that day, I think. Does that make sense?
Not really. Those boys will be trying and they'll be doing everything, won't they? They are.
Well, this will be held on a weekend, I would imagine.
Well, we do it every year.
Yeah, every year. And this has worked in the name that it's set would have been worked in with whatever community.
Yeah. Yeah, it just seemed funny. The football club put a lot into that and then they've got a mention.
Do you want to add another word? A motion that permission is granted for them to camp at the Red Ground? That seems to be something you're after.
To camp?
Camping? Yeah, they're also seeking permission for competitors to be able to camp at the ground if they will be setting up on the Friday. That's a 2-day trial.
So if we put that in the list of conditions as well, that permission be given?
Would that be okay with Councillor Cassidy and
Campbell? Yes, sure.
With your comment, Councillor Bailey, perhaps the football club should be made aware of the use of the ground for that period of time.
And plus,
can you
the football club be notified?
Yeah. I've just checked the football's roster. The roster doesn't start according to this, round one doesn't start till April the 23rd.
Yeah.
Good, thank you. That
they might be doing some training, but that up to
it. Yeah, notify the training and then we cover all our basis,
so to speak. Can I just make a comment to possibly Lynn? The other night, after quite late, probably 10 o'clock or 10:30, the vehicle drove up there and parked and stopped up next to the fences where the cricket practice pit is, and lights off. I don't know what the heck they were doing up there, but I called Jason to just let him know that somebody was up there. But Jason assured me all there's cameras and everything up there on the building. But I just thought I'd let you guys know in case there's any issues.
Thank you. 15.5, Inland Fisheries Service, naming the two lakes. I think this is great, but it would be nice to start considering dual naming in some of the areas as well. It helps with tourism, and I think it's
respectful. This one's through Inland Fisheries. Neil Morrow brought this to council's attention. I didn't even know they were called lakes. I thought they were just water officers.
No. So. Green ponds over the water.
Yeah, so that's a new one on me, 15 years, and I didn't even know that one. So. But he has asked that the two lakes be named as they've been known for these years. But as the Mayor said, if the comments are for dual naming or whether we just send and ask for that, that's up to the Council to put that down. But they're just saying that these lakes have been known as that for X amount of years.
I think, of course...
Table's open for discussion.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's important that we do recognise deceased people and go with this, but for a future. Let Hydro know that we consider dual name. How's that go?
Oh, this is Inland Fisheries.
Oh, Inland Fisheries, yeah.
So do we go with the recommendation on this one, but let them know in future?
Okay. That's what I'm trying to say to the manager. Did you move that to Gary?
Yeah, I'll move it. But also I'm going to talk on with this one.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll see.
Okay, how's the honour?
They were dug out by the Hydro to get clay and everything out for the dams.
Yep.
So they weren't actually lakes to start with, and then they were turned into Lake Duncan and Lake Lynch.
Thank you.
So they've only been there since, Paltoon Road was put through.
A bit more information, where's the Duncan and the Lynch bit come from?
Duncan,
Duncan,
named after Merv Duncan, who was senior inspector on the
Inland
Fisheries for so many years. He also lived at the lakes, and Lake Lynch, he was commissioner for Inland Fisheries. around the same time and put in the lot.
Oh, there you go.
And then my brother-in-law was commissioner.
Yeah.
Okay. The recommendation was moved by Councillor Honour, second by Councillor Bailey. Those for that recommendation? Is there anyone against it? Very good. We've nearly done the trial, haven't we, Grove?
Well, probably not.
Oh, okay. Josie, have you a moment, or do you need...
I can.
Can you hang in there, or...
I can wait, that's fine.
All righty, we'll put you on, Grove. 15.6, the Tasmania Heritage Register, removal of entries. All right.
Okay, this one is for information only, but I think Councillor Cassidy sent us an email about this situation. Now, the situation is not really a situation. It's dual. When they removed these entries, it was because of... what's the word I'm thinking of? It was duplicated. It's still the same property, but for some reason it was duplicated twice. So the Heritage, well, they're the experts in this field, and they removed the duplication on these properties. They still remain on the register as such, but the duplication has been removed, so it's only there once. Louisa, our officer, has viewed it and hasn't got a concern with it. So that's what the information was. It's passed on to the councillors, to the general manager, to say that these are being removed, the duplication, not the actual property or buildings are going to be removed. It's just the duplication bit. It's not being twice. It's just one of the things.
There's no matter about this to come to the council.
It's only information.
They just put a line through
it? Yeah, it's only information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Graham. That's clear as much.
I think the important issue on this, other than the duplication of the entries, and they also have each entry, they've got different numbers. I just wanted to be sure that both entries were read and they both read the same. That's one issue. The other issue is probably most important. I don't know if you picked up on it, but the letter that was sent to the council was dated the 1st of February, and we had 30 days to respond. That was back on the 1st of March. So here we're discussing something that we've got no control over. That's not the intention of Damien insofar as having council notified us. We should be notified and be able to respond within the date of notification.
In a timely manner, yes.
So I think that we need to fix that. So I'd like to move a motion that any future referrals to council of heritage listed properties that are to be removed must be notified to us and give us perhaps 45 days or 60 days so we will have at least an opportunity to have a council meeting, sit around as councillors and planning authority or whatever to discuss this or be informed or make a decision.
Yes, motion, and I have got you moving it. Was there a seconder? Was you a seconder?
No, I'm not a seconder. I want to speak on this.
Okay, could I have a seconder, please, so I can have the motion? Councillor Bailey, Councillor Poore, over to you.
With that planner, Louisa, can Graham, can you advise us when or roughly when she was first advised of this and how long she's had that information? I'm just relating this back to Councillor
Cassidy. This information is directed straight to the General Manager.
Right.
So as soon as the General Manager gets it, she will CC the parties in to, well, the planner, Cathy and myself. So Councillor Cassidy's right. There's not really enough time to really look at it.
That's fine. It's all about clarification.
Yeah, so, but as to being duplication and just removing, as I've said, it's just the duplication bit that's been removed.
Okay. I just want a clarification now, so that's fine.
Yeah, okay. So the motion from Councillor Cassidy and second by Councillor Bailey goes for that motion. Is there anyone against? Council all rights against it. So that's carried with Council all right against. Thank you. 15.7 is the waste tender. While we're talking waste, Graham, a very special thank you has come through from the ratepayer to Andrew at the Myanga Waste Transfer Station. They said he's fantastic, he helps people unload, he goes out of his way to be helpful. So could you pass that on to the council, please?
Certainly will, Andrew. He's the operator, as they all are.
And Councillor Honor will probably speak to this as well. There was a, at the Shack Artist meeting, there was a complaint about Reynolds' neck, that it appears the contract is only emptying one bin at a time. So I'm not sure what's happening there, Councillor Honor. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, there's been a little bit of lax with some of the Indians, but also they were complaining because someone's put in a lot of building things in one of the bins, and as I said, well, if building boards and everything goes in, it's going to pop when it goes up. So they can't empty it, and they can't put the boards and that in the compactor because it will break it. So maybe that's the reason why it hasn't, but I think they should also come back and let you know that that's the reason why they couldn't empty it.
Yeah, thanks, Councillor.
Welcome
to my world.
They have come up with the idea that if anyone is seen putting larger stuff in than what should be like an armchair, that they're going to go and get it out and take it back to that person's shack and put it on their front
door.
That has happened before too, and I do encourage it. Look, it has been an issue for a while with the contractor about not emptying some bins. Bit of miscommunication sometimes, we were told, but there's been plenty of communications going our way. Drivers saying that the computer says only empty two, not three. And it's, well, a bit of common sense would say if it's full of rubbish, just empty it, please. And charge me, not a problem. We can do that. So, look, the tenders are going out. It hasn't been really good at the moment, but we are getting a lot more population up there, and you know, this is why we're going through these things, and there's another section of this to go as well. Nothing's perfect, unfortunately, and some people don't like to dob people in and that type of thing. Contractors haven't been putting locks back on bins. That's why you end up with stuff in it, because locks don't go on. So the next tenders that go out stipulate all these, so bear with me. You know, my phone runs hot a lot of the time, and so I've even been dealing with the Australian manager lately, so...
A complaint about the one up at Briona.
Haulage. Yeah, that under the tender, the new one, they'll be removed because they've been nothing but a problem. So they'll be removed and extras put on other sites. Look, it's only 2 minutes to the next one, so you know, if some of the reses aren't happy with me, it's 2 minutes drive, but then again with petrol prices, that's probably going to cost you $2. So anyway, we'll do our best with the next one.
Thank you, Brian. Councillor Cassidy.
With regard to Julie and everything that you said, Graham, we need to find a way to discourage folks from dumping their sofas and rubbish along the roadside. I mean, along the Highland Road, more often times we will see, you know, people that have just dumped their sofas and whatever, huge items, well outside the waste transfer. And that means that, you know, either our contractor or council employees have to go out there and, you know, clean all that up.
Thank you. We'll move on to 15.8, just opening hours of waste sites. I totally agree with everything there except I think Fridays should be left in at home because a lot of people don't use Fridays. Over to you, Graham, it's for discussion.
It is for discussion. The hours that we have had at the waste transfer station, so I did a little bit of homework and got the old scribble going and everything. The hours that were set there were about 15 years ago. And those hours were set to work in with whoever was working at the waste transfer station, it seems. So that these have gone on for 15 years. I've talked to our waste transfer station and our chip operator Peter as well, and floated the idea of bringing everything back into the same hours on the same days, so our ratepayers then are educated. These are the days, these are the hours. Because I had people ring me up on a weekend, when's the chip open, and I've got to run to my book and find out that I've been doing it for 15 years, you know. So that type of thing. So the hours would be winter and summer, because some of the hours in the winter 6 o'clock, and it was like, you know, in the winter 6 o'clock it was dark and that type of thing. So it's bringing everything in to work together, Wednesday, Saturday, Sunday. Hamilton is a lot better than everyone else because we've still got your pickup. So you've got your house pickups. We're up the lakes, they don't have the house pickups. So to set those days, Saturday, Sunday and Wednesdays, going on the numbers that the operators are telling me, Saturday, Sundays are your really busy ones. So what sort of people are there? It's the same thing. The culture's changed. It's not just shack culture anymore. It's people are moving into there. The numbers are growing all the time. So the hours to bring them in all together are going to increase. Okay, so there's going to be increases on some more than others. So I did some mathematics, which would have to come to the butt if this is, you know, I mean, we're only floating the idea at the moment, but if it does change, obviously it's going to have to come to the budget table. And for the 2021-22 budget, it was rounded off $130,000 to run these sites.
Yeah.
So with the change of hours, for bringing them all in to the same, and this is still with all the penalty rates, public holidays all into it, was $142,460. So it's basically
120 to
130 up to 142. So it's a little bit of an increase, but we're educating now where everyone will know the same hours. The hours are better, I think. Even when we were talking about people leaving the shacks to go home with the hours and that type of thing, I still think that at 12 to 4, and I've got the waste transfer fellas on site. The mayor was saying about Fridays up at this tip up here, but it's like we had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and then, you know, just that big break. So we're thinking of bringing that in and putting the Wednesday in the middle. So you've got your Saturday, Sunday and the Wednesdays in the middle.
Yeah,
it
probably makes more sense.
So,
Councillor Paul.
Does this need to go to a budget meeting or can I move a motion now to get this approved?
Can I just check on the figures?
I'm
just sort of looking at Dave Boston and thinking, well, if you're already saying it's going up $12,000, I think there's something.
$12,000 for the four, isn't it?
Yeah, for the four, one. But when you sort of look at Boston by itself for 26 weeks,
it's some go up.
And they're at double time, being weekend.
So we'll have a deferral and come back and speak.
Yeah,
so you move that, Councillor Paul?
Yeah, I'll move that.
And second, Councillor Cassidy? Those four? Against? That is carried. Thank you. Waste levy presentation. Oh, yeah, I think we should just invite Legap in June sometime.
No, that was that Dion fellow, wasn't it? He came before, yeah.
Look, the levy has been passed now. You've probably heard on the news, so you've got no option but we will be paying it. With our tender, we've changed our system, as in we've asked tenders to now include the price to go in per truck, so we'll actually be charging to go in and sending the bill every month, so it's in-out type of thing. It's not going to be a lot on the levy, but we'll probably have to allow some in the budget, I think Bev floated that one before, I can't think of it off the top. But yeah, we're going to be on the bottom run of it. But things may change with that levy too, with the introduce of the deposit system back for recycling as well. So, you know, it's a variable thing that's going to happen. And even with the waste one that's going out with our roadside pickup, with our recycling, we ask for a tender now to pick that up. If this deposit system takes off over the next 12 months, 2 years, we could be paying someone to pick up hardly anything in a bin. So it's sort of that variable, we don't know. It's a good system if it works, but we're in unknown territory at the moment with that one.
So do we invite the Gadalong in June for a PowerPoint or not?
I think so.
I reckon it'd be a good idea.
Yeah. People can find out how this, where it's going to be set up, you know, who's going to be putting these facilities in to where you've got to go to put your cans in.
Councillor Orrin, are you moving that motion?
Should we be May or something? When's the best time? If we've got to implement something on the back of this discussion.
I think we send out the invitation and probably Dion would come back with...
Yeah, rather than June, because that's the date we're doing the budget anyway. So
yeah, that's not a problem with me. Moved by Councillor Orrin, second by... We'll send out you all to that, right?
Yep.
Those four against, that is carried. Thank you. Alrighty, 1510 is the update on repairs to Urs Hall, Urs and Highlands Community Alive. Now, I've received correspondence which you will have a copy of from Fred McDonald on behalf of the Urs and Highlands.
I do have it out there.
It's regarding the repairs to the Urs Hall and when the hall will be available for community use. So I'm being told that community want to use this hall on a working basis. They want to hold craft sessions, arts and crafts. They want to have weekly markets, art exhibitions, and have community gatherings. So they've got a list of plans to get the community moving again, which, as we heard this morning, it certainly wouldn't hurt. So I had a little chat to Graham, and we were talking, and he was suggesting maybe a cement floor, correct me if I'm wrong, Graham. So I guess what I'm asking, on behalf of ratepayers, basically, is when would you get something moving?
Budget time, already. Will be the decision. I have had one quote come back from Heritage Solutions.
Yeah.
At the moment, I think we sent out some photos of a meeting not so long ago that showed half the floors. Okay. It has dried out, around the outside. Still that dampy smell, but that's lack of ventilation. Definitely lack of ventilation getting in underneath because of the roads been built up over years, unfortunately. So half the floor is up and Heritage Solutions have come up with a quote for $97,000 to replace a timber floor like this. So remove what's got to be done, replace, jack up because it's sunk at the bottom of it. So that's with a timber floor. Now, all good, but I have still got concerns with ventilation. You would have to put mechanical ventilation in that place to get it in. So, you know, you could put another... You'd have to get an engineer in to design the ventilation to go in. You could put another 20, 30, 40,000 on top of that to get that in there. Otherwise, what's it going to put in the back in there if it gets dry rot, everything rots out again with no ventilation? It's not water, it's dry rot then. I've done a few calculations. I've worked with concrete a fair bit in my life, so to put a concrete floor in is around about the $16,000 mark to put the concrete in. Okay. That is not counting getting it all prepared for the slab to go in. So you have to remove the other bit of the floor. Now, right around the outside is where the problem is, where you've got the rafters, the joists that run in underneath the walls, okay, that come across to carry the floor. All that's got to come out. So the slab's got to go underneath that.
Yeah.
So it's working out how to do that, and I'm pretty confident on knowing how to do that. But that's all got to come out. You've got to bring materials in, you've got to get it ready. I can quote the materials, and as a council we can be project managers to pay for the materials to go in. But I've been talking to a builder and a fellow that he used to do his concrete about meeting on site, and we need to go through and have a guesstimate on the hourly rate that it's going to take to do it. No one's going to be basically going in and going, I'll do it for this, because it's, you know, pretty technical. The slab's just a house slab. It's only 180 square. It's not real big. But it's the getting everything ready to actually do that, to get it back. Now, if you go timber and don't put in this ventilation to go in it, well, you'd have 10 years out of it, it falls apart again. If we do it properly and put concrete in it, your great-grandkids will still be walking on it. It won't be a worry.
Do the walls need stumping or re-stumping? What
it's designed like a truss system. They go up and you can see the trusses that go up, and they're about 5 metres apart, and then you've got your windows and your plates are in between them.
Go underneath each truss.
So they're the weight bearing part of it, okay, so the roof's not going to go anywhere. It's the bit in between that probably when you take the joists out, you're going to have to slip probably a C-channel iron underneath of it. Just a bit in sections, have it all boxed up, then the concrete will go underneath and will hold your plates up, will hold the walls up, and that type of thing, and then you tie down to take plates. Look, we could bring an engineer in and he'd charge you $25,000 to tell me what I really know already.
Councillor Cassidy. Thanks, Graham.
Two questions, Graham. Are there any heritage issues? That's number one. Number two, how long would it take to replace the wooden floor, remove and replace? And how long would it take if we were going to do it in concrete? So I think that's what we need to know.
Look, I can't answer that, but I can tell you if we don't jump on someone and grab someone shortly, they'll all be going to Queensland.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a great lack of trade, as you can see it coming. We're going to have a lack of materials. It's bad enough now.
Yeah.
So everyone's, if you're a young fella and you've got a ute and everything set up now, mate, I'd be going that way. And they'll entice people to go to New South Wales and Queensland, no doubt. So this will be a budget item, but we've got to decide what you want to do. If you put $100,000, you decide whether you want to go that or you want to go that. But it'll have to be a budget item. I can't answer the question to the ratepayers of when we can open the hall again. But it's going to cost you that amount of money to bring it up to usable. And that's all I can say.
Councillor
Warren. I'd move that we put the concrete floor budget consideration.
Concrete floor.
I'll second that.
Move Councillor Orr, Councillor, second Councillor Orr, that it be a concrete floor for the budget.
Well, that's basically what Grant asked. We've got to get it into the budget. So Grant's got to provide the some costs for budget consideration.
So we've got this one. We've got the roof to go on here. We haven't called costings on this. The final plans are being drawn at the moment, so we've got that one going. We've got to do this. We've also got now grant money that we've been approved, so we've got toilet facilities and camping to go in here. We've got more to do over at the park over here as well.
Okay, while we do this let's get this motion. Janet, how does the motion read, please? For the Town Hall. All right, so we've moved by Councillor Orr, second by Councillor Ford. Those for that motion? Is there anyone against that motion? You're against it, Councillor.
We don't have enough information.
Pardon?
We don't have enough information.
Okay.
In fact, maybe we ought to consider closing the hall to save the money.
Mm. I think we'll consider the ratepayers instead. Okay, Councillor Cassidy is against. Thank you, moving on.
I think the councillors have the close call.
15.11, permits, no permits required, veterinary, animal control, no dogs again, gee, we're going well.
We all behave dogs.
Exactly, Central Highlands puppies. Stats, registrations, kennel licences.
No, what is that?
And all good, we don't need to move that, it's just information. Thank you, Graham.
Thank you, Mayor, thanks, councillors.
Now we will call on Josie, sorry Josie, and thank you for waiting and being patient for us.
Do you want me to move back to deputation?
If you will, please, councillor Campbell.
Move back to, is it item seven? Seven, deputation.
Second, councillor Connor, four, against Carey. Alrighty, thank you so much, Josie. You're going to talk to us about the Clyde River?
I believe I am.
Yes?
I thought I'd take the opportunity to have a chat in general very quickly.
Yes.
Yeah, so I know at least once a year we have a discussion about what to do at the Clyde in Bothwell, because it's really hard to attract funding for that kind of work. It's certainly not within our budgets. However, I put in a grant application to the Landcare Action Fund grants, which this time have been quite farmer focused. In the past, this one's a bit more community focused, so it allows you, and they're also looking for projects that are about rivers. So I'm really hopeful that this time we will get something to do there. So that would also require working with council on that section. I've had a conversation with Jason about how we might do that. So the idea being that we would at least work on that section on the bit that's council land, and also just try and do some willow control through that section and allow us to do a little bit of revegetation. It's without like a big spend, it's actually quite hard to remove and revegetate and that whole section. So I've been working also from a bigger picture perspective on our catchment plan and putting that forward as under the noses of people for it, because it's election, federal election coming up. So been having a conversation about trying to get that on the table as potential. So, and the catchment plan would be about, one of the components would be a river restoration program, removing willows, and trying to improve water quality outcomes. So that's something that is in, but how successful that will be is, you know, it's one of those tricky things, isn't it? Election promises, sometimes they, but we were, did see at Hamilton Show, Mr. Barnett came up with the local federal, and said, now's your opportunity. You should, he was really encouraging and said, you know, you should ask these girls for an election promise. They do good things, which was very nice, but whether it translates to something is a different thing altogether. So that's something that Eden and I are just working on at the moment to try and see if we can attract some more dollars. So we're very aware of the issues. It's a little bit about the scope and scale of the problem. We're really hopeful that even if we don't, through this mechanism, we will be able to get funding for some more holistic catchment management. It's getting more and more attention. I think because, well, there's been quite big spends in the north of the state, so there's sort of a few questions about, you know, the Derwent River and the Derwent catchment. I mean, it's Hobart's drinking water. It provides fresh water supply for more than half the population, not to mention all the agricultural benefits. So there is, I think there's interest, but it's just about getting it over the line. But it's certainly what we're working on. The other things I thought it might be worth having a quick discussion about was just also talk about the weed management, because sometimes there's a bit of comes up in that zone in terms of the weed management. So we did complete 5 years of weed management under the last plan. So there's been a new plan submitted, which you would have all seen, and we've now done our first year of implementing that plan. So what we're doing is we've had all the eradication zones. Those that need sort of move to monitor. And except for a few exceptions, like college trees, being a little bit hard because of traffic management and the extra costs associated with trying to get the traffic management done. But we're coming up with new ways, and we've been working with Jason to improve that. And so we've now got extra area that we're monitoring and controlling. And so that's all in the plan. It does mean that we really get stretched the budget in terms of delivery for council. So we're often going, we're using funds from other elsewhere to help drive that, but it would be nice when you're doing your budget deliberations to think about whether there's potential scope for covering a bit more weed management on council roads and land.
And the other thing, Josie, while we're over talking about Cragers Alley, hopefully in Bicentennial, which will be happening in early October, where it's going to be opened up across the board and using Cragers Alley as well, and will you be able to have some signage with the plants, the native garden, and because you've got the Croker sign, and that's good, and we could probably match it with that one. So
yeah,
that's all happening, hopefully, in October.
Is there someone I should have a chat to about? Who'd be the best person to talk to, just to make sure we fulfil
what we're... Perhaps if you come along to the next bicentennial meeting, it would be beneficial, wouldn't it, Councillor Allen?
Sure.
Do you have the date of that next meeting? It's early... Well, you go to those two, don't you, Councillor Campbell?
The next meeting is on the 5th of April at 11 a.m.
Bockle, thank you. I said that bounce. Good. At 11 a.m. Yep.
Thank you. Councillor Archer.
I noticed in the report that we have today there, we're doing a catchment monthly report. Josie, you referred to working with the IFS in terms of galaxic habitat.
That's putting in another application. We put in an application under the Land Care Action Fund grants with them as well to improve habitat.
For which habitat, galaxic in particular?
I didn't like the application. Like, sorry. I can find out, sorry. Can I can look now if you like, or I can get back to you.
Yeah, come back and be fine. It's just that the River Clyde Trust have paid independent fish biologists to look at the golden galaxies in Lake Christmas River. The carp population.
I don't think it's Lake Christmas River. It's one of the smaller places where they're using beans for breeding site. But I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it.
It's just, working with the IFSC would seem to be a bit of a conflict when trout are known to consume at least 60 million golden galaxies in Lake Christmas River a year.
There are many things like this I would think are in contrast with a little bit of an issue in terms of that type of the water management, fish management. But the problem really being that they are trying to do something with threatened species. They've approached us about whether we can help with the weed management component. And so we've put something together with them. I'm sorry, I didn't do it, so I can't remember. I don't know the exact detail, but I'm certainly going to provide you with what was sent, if that's helpful.
Thank you.
Councillor Cassidy.
I thought it said
just said galaxy.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Bothwell.
That they'd restocked a lake somewhere.
Yes.
Which wouldn't be surrounding the river.
No.
They'd restocked it, they wanted to see if they could expand that.
As part of the strategy, the Trust have been lobbying the IFS to have satellite populations, but we've found them to be resistant to that.
Could we have a discussion about that? Because it sounds like there's more detail than a point.
Okay, back to Councillor Cassidy.
Morning, Josie. I'd like to ask, is it viable or practical outside of the towns along the Clyde to do controlled burns to eradicate the willows and blackberries?
Only with a large amount of funding. So that's what we're trying to seek elsewhere. So really, restoration, if we did a restoration for Clyde, it would run into the millions of dollars, literally. So, and that, if you talked about removing willows and blackberry, so once you did that, you'd also have to do follow-up with restoration because it would cause too much damage. But certainly, you could, and I've learned a bit over doing it for a few years now, and I would recommend it as a wholesale thing. I think you would pick your reaches where it was more important and work with people who are really keen to see some change in the river. Now I can think of sections where it's nothing but hawthorn, and you have to crawl in to get to them. I'm sure
some of those sections would be really nice to fix because they're just bare dirt underneath as well. So there's lots of things with the Clyde. It's quite a complex thing to approach. It's in really good health right at the top end, but, so you can see what it would have been if it were an amazing river. And it would be lovely to think that we could work on a restoration, but it's millions of dollars over 10 to 15 years.
Josie, it's good that Jason's in here. Welcome. That the soldier memorial silhouettes down in Gretna have been greatly accepted. They look fantastic, but it has been brought to my attention that it would be nice to have some little shrubs or something going along the side of it, the footpath. So, with council support, would we like to get a quote of some sort of bush? Something that would go along the borders and what it may cost us. Would council like to move a motion, something to that?
It wouldn't be expensive, but something you probably come out of Hayes,
so it won't then come across the table?
On the north side, That
would be fantastic, because it does look good, and as I say, people say, well, wouldn't it be nice to have it looks a bit clearer at the moment? Sure, I could help.
Yeah, before Josie goes, can I move that Josie talked with Jason about looking at what sort of budget consideration we need to do to get the Dermot Cash to help Jason recently.
Sure.
So you put some figures together and we'll put
four.
The judge made a comment that it'd be nice to be able to do some more roadside weekends.
So you're moving a motion?
On the roadside weekends.
We might need a motion for that. So
yeah, that's what I was talking about.
So you're moving a motion?
I don't know
what I'll second that then.
Second, Councillor Bailey. And can you just refresh us with the motion?
What do you want it to sound like?
I guess just that.
Just so that Dermot Cash went work with the Works and Services Manager to see how they can help expand the council's roadside wind management and report back to budget consideration, something like that.
Roadside wind management?
Is that a bad capture?
Yeah, that's fine. As we've changed the plan and evolved, and there's bits that are monitoring and bits which are control, it's sort of getting beyond the scope of the current budget. So.
Yeah, I'll get another one. We can sit down and then come up with a bigger playback for budget moderation.
Excellent. So that's moved by Councillor Allwright, second by Councillor Bailey. Those for the motion. Is there anyone against that motion? That is carried. Thank you very much.
And I guess the only other thing that might be of interest is just a bit of a conversation about what's happening with the agricultural sort of programs. You know, we do lots of extension in that space, and we've got about, at the end of this financial year, there's another year to run with a larger project, which is, and at the moment, we're also working, trying to get additional funding for a role within the region through the Drought Hub. So the Drought Hub, which is it's a Commonwealth program, I think there's, in nine across Australia, and Tasmania has one, and we're partnering with that process in terms of Dermot Catchment, and we've been lobbying, and it's gone up that potentially to have a role in it. The thing about that is it probably would be a one-off, but for the same token, it's money coming in perpetuity for improving drought resilience, so we're trying to help attract something like that into the region, which I thought might be of interest.
Mm. Any questions for Josie before we finish? No? Thank you so much, Josie. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, Yvonne, welcome. And we've got Jack over there. Is Jack accompanying you? Are we together?
Yes,
together. So we have Yvonne. And Jack, thank you. Jack's the president of the Agricultural Society.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
along to, here I've got all of industries in this text, so who would like to speak first?
First of all, thank you for inviting us along today to speak to this session of council. And could I also pass on the thanks of the Shea Society to the council for their generous support in assisting us in getting the show off the ground, and especially leading up to the show, and the staff the council have provided to help us, especially with various COVID management stuff at the show. It was much appreciated, so thank you. So obviously Yvonne has got a list of things she'd like to speak to the council about today, but I've got a couple of other things as well, if I can really add them in as well. It's one of the main problems that we've had with the show, and I'm sure that most people here would be well aware of this issue, the problem of keeping Stuart Archer's cattle out, primarily cattle but also sheep, out of the showground, and the ensuing damage that those cattle create, in particular when they do come into the showground, the damage that they have done to council infrastructure on the grounds, also to the barbecue shed that the Show Society erected a few years back. And we would like council possibly to consider fixing the fences around the boundaries of the showground to assist us in managing or preventing the ingress of stock into the showgrounds in future years. Jim, sorry.
So I was tasked with the job of dealing with the fellow who owns some ground and is making a bit of a show there. But it appears that I'll have to redouble my efforts. So
yes,
it's notoriously difficult to deal with. The gist of it being that we need a boundary adjustment, so the showground is all council ground, and what's outside council property that's outside the showground goes to him.
Yes.
And then we can secure the boundary. We've got to get that first step done. But,
would it be fair to say negotiations are continuing?
Well, yeah, I know that. Yeah. Now, I have to read up my efforts. So it's hard to know what landowners did or what landowners down. But, and I sort of hope we can get a, an agreement that we did this rather than we get a legally enforced position.
So we'll let Jack finish and then we'll sum up what we need to do from here.
So if I could, Mayor, if I could pose a few questions there. Surely if there's an existing fence already in place, if we're just, or if the council were re-erecting that fence, is that not...
Is that he owned property in the middle
of the
ground?
Yes, I understand that. But there's already a fence there, so if you're just re-erecting a fence that has been there previously.
Councillor Archer, then Jason.
Okay.
I suppose the problem, I mean, even with the fence redone,
yes,
it is still. The owner still allows cattle to roam on the section of land that is within the showgrounds.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yeah. Obviously it's a complex issue, but obviously the council has got a significant amount of assets within the showground, and we've got a small amount to do with the barbecue shed as the show. So any help that the council can provide will be gratefully.
So, Councillor Archer, and then we'll go back to you,
Jack. Now, there's two parts to the thing. In the first instance, the landowner's got an obligation under the Land and Fences Act to make sure that the stock is not strained.
Yep.
And so there are recourses there that, in my view, Council should look at pursuing, whether they be compensation. That we certainly need to vigorously make sure we maintain the integrity of our assets. And if we've got a landowner who's not being looked for in any circumstances, I think that council is entitled to seek restitution. And secondly, that if you've got a landowner who isn't operating, which is seems to be being alluded to, then council's got acquisition powers, and I wouldn't be backward in coming forward in exercising if required.
So I suppose going back to where councillor, I think it was Campbell and Allwright, and
I just didn't get anywhere. I'd have originally discussed with Councillor Campbell, but when I got somewhere, we would have some more discussions about having got that point. I've just got to read up on the efforts, but effectively, we probably have to get the ball on to it.
Councillor,
which I'm not particularly keen on.
This intransigence has been going on since 2014. So we have not made any progress. I would like to move a motion that the mayor write to the landowner and expressing the situation that we need to maintain the integrity and maintain our assets, and he needs to keep his cattle away. And we will do what we have to do to protect the assets, including fencing. I think we should do that.
I think going back some time, some councillors have been on council for a long time, it was considered actually trying to purchase the piece of land. Am I correct?
That's
correct. Right. You know, we've got acquisition powers that are necessary, and we should see damages if
I don't believe we need to buy it, because it's just a matter of swapping it.
We know in progress.
And I said that it's on their property, for his asset that's on our property.
Which is a matter of swapping.
Even if we pay all the fees, that would be a good outcome. And then fence it.
Okay.
We'll have another go at trying to talk to him.
Councillor Bailey?
We as council own, there's a racetrack.
Yes.
It goes out through Torchy, or whatever you call it. Yeah. Out round through his property.
Correct.
And he's got a little corner on that we've got fenced in. It was offered before, maybe three times that I can remember since I've been on council.
Yep.
He's done nothing about it. He's just ignored it. Each time it's been put to him, he's just ignored it. Isn't there such a thing that we can just say, well, righto, we're going to take that property?
We're acquisition powers.
But I think it goes back to the formal letter.
I can go back 14 years or something.
I think negotiations have not really got anywhere, and I think it's a formal letter should be.
Well, I'll have another go at him this month. I'll report back next.
It hasn't got anything so far.
Okay, councillor, we need a decision on what we're going to do.
Yep, okay.
Is it a formal letter? Is it not? Yes. I need to get direction around the table. Councillor Cassidy.
Okay, if I may say, Jim, we've talked to the gentleman many times and it has gone nowhere. So I suggest that we write a formal letter.
Is this a motion?
Yes, ma'am.
I'll put it on the table. Okay, motion. Moved by Councillor Cassidy that...
We write a formal letter to the owner of the... property, stating a council position to protect our assets at all costs.
Who seconded that? Any seconder for that? No seconder? Well, that's lapsed. Okay.
It'll go another 8 years the same way, unless we do something about it.
Okay, can I have some input? I'll go around the table. Okay, Councillor Campbell.
I move the motion that Councillor Deputy Mayor Allwright and I have one more go at trying to speak to the landowner and come to a resolution.
Who seconds that? Councillor Allwright. So Councillor Campbell, Councillor Allwright. Okay. Those for that motion. I'll go around the table. Councillor Allwright, obviously you're for it. Councillor Archer?
I've made my position clear now, I think. I'm not supportive. I think we should be taking action.
Against. Councillor Honourable, for? Councillor Poore?
Against.
against. We'll record these names, I think, just so we know where we are, please. Where did we get to? Councillor Cassidy?
Against.
Against. Councillor Bailey?
Yeah, I'm for.
You're for the motion?
Yep.
Yes. Okay.
On the condition that we get into it straight away then?
Yeah, how I'll report that.
Councillor Campbell, you're obviously for. And me. One, two, three. Oh, goody. I'm against, so that's a 4-4.
So fails.
Motion's lost.
Motion's lost.
So let's go again. What can we do?
Okay, how about you put a motion forward? I'll support it, I'll second it.
Because until that parcel of land is sorted out.
Yeah, we can't.
Fencing will not change anything.
No, I don't think so.
No, it's just because you'll allow us not to come in on his property.
Councillor Paul.
Can we in any legal way force the change over this land?
Absolutely.
We need to do something more than what we've done in the past. We're just going round and round in circles. We need to go there to this gentleman and say, this is what we're going to do unless you agree to our proposals.
So your suggestion would seek legal advice as to where to go.
I think we seek legal advice.
Would you move the motion?
I'll move the motion if we seek legal advice on this matter to look at the options we have available to us.
I don't think we need the legal advice, your legal position is clear. No. I think we've got the authority.
I'll try the
same. Are you sure?
Who seconded the motion?
Exactly. Let's get legal advice.
Okay, I'm back to the motion. It was moved by Councillor Paul, seconded by... Who seconded that?
I'll second.
Councillor Cassidy. Okay.
We have a lawyer determined, so we have to do it. We must do it immediately.
Okay, so those for the motion. Is there anyone against the motion? Against is Councillor
Archer. So what was
the
motion?
What is the motion again, Jan?
We're seeking legal advice to what options are available to us.
So, can we hold that motion for a minute there? So, if we seek legal advice, that's going to be another month, right? And then the advice will be that we'll have to go through this legal process, which is going to take 6 or 8 months. Law.
It's been 8 years already.
So, I'm sure there's a way that we or I can get to him to just allow it to go through easily. I just don't feel that putting the legal heavies on him is necessarily the right. It's going to get an outcome, but not really. It's going to leave a lot of business around.
We don't want bitterness,
but we go straight to the lawyers. That's right.
Councillor Paul.
He has disregarded approaches we made in the past, where they've been verbal approaches or where they've been written approaches. So what makes you think it's going to be any different the next time around? We need to come in hard. I'm sorry, I don't want to have to do this, but it's necessary. Otherwise, we're just going to go round and circle again.
Well, all I'm saying is, give me another month and then we can have that discussion, or let it run parallel. We get some legal advice in addition to a legal advice talking group. Let it run parallel. You put that motion up.
I'm not going to put the motion up. I'm putting the motion up that we seek legal advice.
Yeah, seek legal advice
irrespective.
In addition to...
No.
I just
don't want the business that comes in the community.
No, I understand what you're saying. But we do have a motion up from Councillor Paul, Councillor Cassidy, that we seek legal advice. Now that motion I have to put through to see where we go with that.
Can I speak to that, Mayor, in terms of some additions to your motion?
Please do.
Okay, yes.
I'd like to clarify what we are seeking advice on. My understanding of him is that you are like me, this thing's gone on, and feel there needs to be an end of the road. Can I in fact then suggest as part of our legal advice we seek advice on whether damages can be sought to council property? Can we seek legal advice in terms of how we would go about acquisition of land within council area? I'm not proposing at all that we look at the land swap. I think that would be unnecessary. The council could fence off its land within that property, whether it's a racetrack, whether it's an airport, whether it's a fishing village. We will just fence off our land, full stop, and we will be given every opportunity to try and negotiate reasonable outcomes. And if that's falling on deaf ears, we need to empower Jim and Anita on our behalf so that they are aware that the council is behind them and that the council is not taking a soft approach to this, that our intention is to move in terms of this acquisition should it be necessary, and we're unable to reach an outcome with the landowner. So give our councillors the stick is there'll be none of this land swap which would suit both parties. There will be just an acquisition and just a fencing off, and if that's inconvenient for the property owner, then you know, this has been going on, from what we're told, for some time, and that's just not the way the community is entitled to treat it.
Well, I have another idea. Why don't we stop in our tracks and invite the landowner in to council and discuss it face to face? We might be lucky.
Yeah, potentially a good idea, but what's happened is that yes, and it doesn't go anywhere. That's what would happen. You'd be wasting half an hour of discussion, and yes, I'll do that. Then you serve, then you get some communication and it doesn't answer it.
Well, then goes back to the legal system.
So I'm not sure whether that would provide the outcome.
We've got community groups entitled to our support, and I can think of nothing more frustrating than coming back. Here's what you've got all set up for a show, and these jolly cattle worrying about it. I just call them here and have a nice
6:30 at night on the night before a show day.
Well, absolutely. I mean, that's just
so the fence, how bad's the fence?
It's flat on the ground, Jim.
So, the whole fence work.
At least 50% of it on the Ood side. At least 50% of that fence is on the ground. On the Hamilton side, the same again, and then the fence on the on Jones and Sterry side, or Lyle Highway side, that needs fixing up.
Well, that always used to be fairly good fence, so I was understanding that like someone knocked it down or it been pulled down or...
Councillor Cassidy then.
I'd just like to ask a question. Where the cars park on show day...
In his land, which is the high pot, but we've had it off...
That's Mr Archer's land?
That's my understanding.
So we should be very careful how we go in with this.
Yeah. If I could just interrupt that, then we have had it offered to us previously to use land at Willow Dean for parking for the show, which immediately creates issues with moving people across the highway. But we surely, if this is a private matter I was dealing with for my own land, I wouldn't let that hold me back from seeking action on the remainder of the issue. So I don't know, all I'm asking for is a little bit of help, because it's very inconvenient trying to run the show whilst we're also cattle farming for Mr. Archer on your land.
Okay, well, we'll take that motion that's been sitting for a while to seek legal advice. We'll see whether that gets anywhere. Otherwise, we'll make another decision. So that motion to seek legal advice was by Councillor Poore and Archer. Councillor Poore and Cassidy. Those for that motion, please raise your hands. Rightio, that motion has lapsed. Now,
let's do absolutely nothing. As we
where
have
to from here? We go back with negotiating to Mr. Archer, correct?
What was that again, Mayor? And then that motion?
It lapsed. No one supported.
It's probably council, all right, and council, can we go together?
Yeah, I've talked to Paul Douglas, but I think my view was that the best way is getting some, sort of run into him, he was quite dismissive about it all, he didn't want to talk, and I just sort of let it go. So, I've really actually got to sort of make it happen.
I think we should be invited to meet with the councillors we delegate, which is yourself and Councillor Archer, and perhaps we meet and discuss.
Yeah, and I've just got to get a map off Brian because there was a proposal that we take it all out the highway. Add on a section of parking. It is a bit problematic to park over the whole.
Yes, agreed. If I could just say one thing, Jim, rudely, where Mr. Archer's growing his sea crops for Bijo, my understanding is that's council's land. So if that was me, I'd be seeking a bit of reimbursement for that rent money for that land.
Councillor Bailey.
Council was saying just a minute ago that he didn't get anywhere. It became quite abusive. Okay?
No, I didn't say it was abusive, he just dismissed
it. You did say that.
Dismissed.
He done the same to Jason.
Yeah, difficult.
I beg your pardon?
It's difficult, person.
Yeah, he done exactly the same to Jason down at the bear, didn't he?
Why isn't it a carefully constructed letter everyone talking at once. First of all,
I hadn't finished.
Councillor Bailey, then Cassidy, then Campbell.
We've left it a fair while since we last spoke about it. We've left it probably 5 or 6 months, and we've got nowhere. We've done this over the years and years and years.
Yes, exactly.
We've got nowhere. Can we acquire the land?
Yeah, that's what I said earlier.
Just go back and that's it.
Just acquire it, but we've still got the racetrack.
I'm sorry?
We have to make him take that. That's the...
No, we don't do it. Spencer off, in the
bottom. What
do you want to acquire? The bit that he's on council.
He's got a little piece on the corner of our property, and that's why he's letting the cattle in there.
It's where the old bar is, as you drive into, that's my understanding anyway, as you drive into the showground, the old bar, that's on his land, it's a little triangle strip through there.
That's right, it's a little strip through where the buck jumping yard is there, he's got it there.
That's the only piece you want
to buy. And that's the piece known.
Okay, Councillor Bailey, you finished?
I am now, yeah.
Okay, Councillor Cassidy, then Campbell.
I'll move motion that the council acquire the land.
Okay, and seconder, please. Councillor Bailey.
So we are only talking about that small piece of
land? I don't care, whatever it takes, we just...
If we want a car park, take the car. But basically...
Well, council need to make up their mind on what they want.
Exactly. So we need to know...
Okay, draw a map for me, okay? We've got blank paper here. Just show me what...
I think this needs to come back to council because we're just going nowhere fast.
I feel this is actually a personal matter that should be discussed in closed session. I'm not comfortable speaking about acquisitions. I've been there and it's most unpleasant. And I would imagine that the landowner would fight this to the nth degree. And I also think we can't discuss something when we don't have a map in front of us.
Yeah, so could I defer until next meeting, please?
In the interim there.
Okay.
I'll move to defer it. And I will redouble because the original request to stands for me and
so deferral to April.
Yeah, so I'll So we've got our next meeting is...
We're off the vote, we're off the
Three, 4 weeks.
Who seconded that, please? Councillor Cassidy. All right, deferral until April meeting. We need more information. We need to understand exactly the areas, mapping, etc. Okay, those for that motion. Is there anyone against that motion? All righty, that is...
I'm against that motion, Mayor.
Sorry?
I am against that motion.
Okay, it is not carried. Councillor Paul's against that motion.
Because I think in 4 weeks' time we'll be saying we still need to get legal advice.
Okay, discussion closed on that. What else did we have, Jack?
Mayor, thank you. I'm sorry if I kicked a hornet's nest open there.
That's all right. That's...
If I could hand over to Yvonne, who's got some issues she'd like to talk about regarding the Hall of Industries at the showground.
Yes, we opened the Hall of Industry this year for the first time in 3 years. There was a lot of work from some other people. We repainted it all, cleaned it all out.
Brilliant.
Thank you very much. But you all have a notice in front of you. The last floods that we had in October 2021 have really damaged that hall. The fact that it hadn't been used properly for about 3 years didn't help much. They're warped, they're damaged, they're rotten, and hard to open and close. And when you do open and close them, the wall moves. So that's why you've got all this. The wire attached to the top of the building, that needs to be fixed properly so the birds don't move, because they make an awful mess. And any of the possums, we're going to try and get, I don't know how many possums they can have in that building. A lot, yes. There was one flying around as we were changing. The outside, the inner parts of the outside walls, I don't know whether anybody hasn't been there, but the inner parts of the outside walls, they were eaten with big holes, I gather, from rats and mice. We've had to temporarily repair them, and it was great expense from the show committee, we repainted them, but they do need replacing. So we need a bit of maintenance done on that core industry if we keep it safe. So my main concern is health and safety, if people go in and out, if we use it. We had plans to be able to use that hall not only on show day, but if we could, there was someone, I can't think who the name was now, who's interested in using it for table tennis. Now, if we can encourage the community to get in there and use the hall, that means we won't have so much damage. We won't have the vermin in there, we'll keep them out. But to do so, we need some maintenance. Now, I understand it's an old building, and it's still got a lot of life in it, but the floods that I've had, the bottom section of the building and the wall and the two big double doors, they need some maintenance. And then the lean-to at the south end, southeast part of the building, we've actually, over the week prior to the hall, to the show, we had to wire and that down. It can't be hammered down because the wood floor. So there is a lot of safety issues with that hall. So I'm asking council if they could provide some of the maintenance to be able to keep that hall going. We had a very good response to the Hall of Industry this year, in consideration that I'm now looking at next year putting some judging in. So if we can rebuild the Hall of Industry, that would be fantastic, bring more people in, and as a result, keep our show going the way it should be shown. But we need some thought with the Hall of Industry to keep it safe for everybody. So that's my proposal.
Thank you so much, and a big thank you on behalf of council for what you actually did. I was over there and saw the work you've done with the painting and everything else, and someone had to pay the paint, obviously. But you had a fantastic hall of industries, and I can see the issues that you face with at the moment. So I'll open it up. Councillor Hall, I want to speak on that.
Thanks, Mayor. My observation is that I don't agree with your assessment that that building has a lot of life left.
But jeez, it's very hard.
That's not quite necessarily the criteria. Can the Show Society and the council work together to work out what you want, a purpose-built building for, and get a test community grant, what would you give the other? Is that a better outcome? Get a more modern steel structure that's not going to get that, that's going to be more easy to
maintain. We were looking at going back to the quadrants, the cakes in it, but you can't put cakes and jams in that building.
I had the same situation with the old, when Jack was first at the old bar, and that was just a bit of a tin shed, and that's what when I was on the committee, most cemented, and then they made us add all these other requirements, and it was just actually easier to build another shed and a barbecue and a bar in it.
So you're suggesting
where we're at with the Hall of Industries, so...
So, Councillor, you're suggesting we get rid of the old building and put
over... Get rid of the old, get the show committee to work with the council, see if we can get some test community fund money.
Or the cattle building fund.
And whole new purpose built, fit for purpose, modern, light.
Councillor
Honour,
then Campbell.
I think Graham might be able to have a look at and do recommendations to council. He's like up with buildings and everything.
He's building inspector, yeah.
Yeah.
He might have to be in a
Councillor Campbell.
The other community fund that might be quite relevant to the Hamilton Show is Tassau have a community fund, and given that they've got the land just a stone's throw up the road, they might consider contributing something too.
If I could jump in there, the Show Society would very much be prepared to work with council to apply for a grant or funding from any of these various different organisations to facilitate knocking the old shed down and building a new one.
Yep,
so
that's cool.
That would be a long term.
So down to Adam, is there anything going around in your head that we could apply for at present?
I haven't said anything, but I guess the politicians will be coming to you. Maybe you should say
new election
$10,000 for a new shed, part of the election.
So to put that in, we'd need something, a bit of paperwork to go with it, like Graham, to give us an idea of
the
costings. So, would you like to move a motion to that effect, that we get Graham to investigate?
I'll move a motion, but I just asked the show committee to put some thought into what they wanted to look at. And, their best guess of what they want to do over the next 10 years. And
the other thing was for Graham to
move
assess the building.
The show committee working with the council preparing some plans or trying to access some community funds to rebuild a new home industries.
I thought it was for the council to investigate what community funds are available.
Oh, we can do that in addition.
You need to be careful how you put that motion through.
Could I make a suggestion?
Oh, you could do the motion.
We have a meeting coming up at the end of the month. If we could report back to council at your next meeting in April and with some ideas about what we would like a new building to look like.
Sounds
and then if we could Maybe that would be the best question.
That's what I'm after, yeah. If you could bring that back?
Yes.
Yes. Would you like to be on the, I think we've got the agenda for April 4, haven't we? We'll put you on the April agenda, which is about the 12th of April, which is very early in April.
Is that possible?
At possible, that's okay.
Yes.
And we'll put you in for 10 o'clock.
Yes.
If times change, we'll let you know. And that will give us an indication of where we can go with it as well.
Of course. Thank you.
So, yeah, thank you so much for coming along. Nothing else.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Oh, sorry, Councillor Cassidy, I didn't see your hand up.
If we're going to be constructing a new building and everything for you, is the construction equipment and hauling of materials and so forth going to go on to that other adjacent landowner's land? So we probably need to get this whole thing straightened out before we...
Of course. Yes.
Think about building a new building.
Yep.
Right? That's the only comment I want to make.
Good point.
I was just going to make a pretty right, Councillor, all I said about with the old building, I mean, it's where do you stop with that building at the moment? I mean, maintenance and to do it up. I just think it's probably not a good idea to throw too much money at it. Probably be on the 2.8.
There needs to be a lot of money.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Pretty good. Okay, well that sounds like a good plan ahead.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Welcome Works and Services Manager. Thank you. Thank you, moving to Works and Services, please. Councillor Cassidy. Works and Services report in front of you. Now the 16.1 Black Summer Bushfire Recovery Grant.
Just as per the recommendation.
Yeah?
What the General Manager got the grant?
Did Council authorise a Works and Service Manager to sign the Black Summer Bushfire Recovery Grants Messaging Board's grant agreement on the portal? Move. Councillor Honour.
Seconded.
Councillor Paul. Four. Against. Carry. Okie dokie. 16.2 Targa. Well, that's an ongoing thing. That shouldn't be a problem. Council Works and Services right to Targa, stating the council have no objection and aware of the event. Move, please. Councillor Allwright, seconder.
Yes.
Councillor Cassidy, four. Against. Carry. 16.3 Sport and Recreation Equipment Grant Program. Co-recommendation, the council authorised the general manager to sign the grant deed for the sport and rec equipment grant.
Yes.
Councillor Honour.
Yes.
Councillor Bailey. For, against, carried. Thank you, thank you.
Next one, just for information.
The next one is Croker Valley for information with a shiny grader. 17 is administration, 17.1 is remissions. Move, please.
No questions.
Second up. I don't go away yet, I've got three days. You haven't got away yet. Nearly. Second up, please. Councillor Cassidy. Four against. Carry. Okay. Jason, just one problem, and I have to be careful how I say this because my time is near this way, but I don't know if you recall for a long time there's been a problem with vehicles coming off the highway into Clyde Street and going round the corner up the bank along river. It's got to a really dangerous issue. There's Winnebagoes, there is camper vans, there's even a tour bus, there's trucks, you name it, they're coming down Clyde going round the corner along with it. One, there's not enough room. There's already been an accident where a winnebago was over the bank trying to give way to another one. So one thing I think we need is a massive sign on the turn off of the highway with caravans, you know how you have caravans and trucks and things with a cross through and that type of sign, to say, no, you cannot go around there, this is dangerous. Some sort of safety thing, so I'd like council to put something forward there and support Jason with that. Comments? Done?
I've been waiting for something like that to happen. I've seen a bus go along there, that's crazy.
Well, that's got to know how the vehicle saw one or something.
Yeah, just a...
There's
plenty of signs around there, small cars only or something.
Yeah, top or something.
It needs to stand out in front of them that they can't...
On both ends of it. On both ends.
So maybe a narrow road.
I'll get some tutorial signs and some information signs and put there.
It's getting ridiculous. And I mean, it's a duty of care from us anyway. Alrighty, that's all done. Thank you, Jason.
What about the supplement?
Where's that?
Oh, yeah.
What was the supplement?
Oh, that's
the Den Road.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a Lake Highway, it's not really a
It is Safe Grove Road. It's right down there, but
Yes.
So, obviously, it is a part of the Safe Grove asset. As we know, the whole Lakes Road. I suppose any concerns raised to council, we need to put it forward. And I know that there are some upcoming works, I believe, to be done there in the near future, because we raised a concern through the BOFL office with some vegetation on the whole Lakes Road, and they actually sent back, just for our interest, that they are about to start in the next coming couple of months, I believe, some resealing. From Milton Mowbray all the way through to Myena in different patches, and that section of works, I believe, was going to be there's going to be some maintenance undertaken on that. What they're actually intending to do there, I'm unsure. I don't know if it's going to be a permanent repair or if they're just going to try and band-aid it again until they work out a solution on what to actually do, but I believe that is the case. But you know, a lot of recommendation states, if we wish to put a letter forward to, well, the Mayor puts a letter forward to the appropriate Minister just to get some feedback on what they're actually going to do there for a long-term fix, probably be an idea.
Because they were talking about this re-hitting, supported this going back when the public idea was done. That's how far back
they are. They've done work there two or three times, and I think that it's probably more technical than what they first realised, and I know they've done a lot of geotech study there, and I believe the whole mountain's moving, that's an issue. Mm-hmm. If you actually drive on the Lower Marshes Road, you can actually see where it's slipping underneath the road. So, I have heard that they are going to do some minor works there shortly, I suppose just to make it safer again until they get a permanent fix, but yeah, a letter to the appropriate Minister from Council. Just, I suppose, for our information that we can pass on the residents what they are going to do for a permanent fix.
So would I move for the recommendation, Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Campbell?
Can I add something on Jason? You were talking about removal of vegetation, and I was looking for that the name of that upper marsh there. I don't know what the heck it's called right now along the Highland Lakes Road, but you know, there's so much vegetation along that, from, you know where that wide sweeping bend is there, is Wolf Hill? From there, all the way down to Little Bend Creek, or let's say Lower Marshes Road, the vegetation is so thick there, you couldn't see a wallaby at night to save your life, you know?
Oh, well,
They just need to, if they could just cut that.
They would, I suppose, little bit like us, Councillor Cassidy, too, at times, so we just, you know, we don't have the resources and time to get around all the vegetation around the municipality, but they'd have it in a maintenance program to undertake it.
They're going in a long while, Jason.
Yeah, I think it's before Christmas, yeah. And of course, they may have done it a little bit too early and it's grown back,
yeah.
But
you know, even our roads, we're still, I can give them a phone call, yeah.
Councillor Archer. Meowie is a very dangerous road, with lacking guardrail in particular, and so it's part of any letter that we put forward. I'd just like to remind them that there's been lives lost there, and on behalf of the community, would like them to do something about guardrailing as a priority. That might stimulate them to do the whole job, because it would be very expensive to do that guardrailing as it is now without doing the rest of the road. It seems crazy duplication, but that would be at least a first good step. It's a very dangerous road without the guardrail.
So the recommendation is that Council send a letter to the Honourable Roger Jones, Minister for State Road, asking them the Highlands Road near Little Den Creek, will be repaired.
A section of road, yeah, from the Highlands Road near the Little Den Creek, and then I suppose, are there any upgrades?
Requesting upgrades?
Yeah, or any upgrades to the Highlands Road in the near future to improve safety, road safety?
Particularly guardrail.
Guardrail.
Requesting upgrades.
Yep.
What did you say about guardrails?
Including safety barrier.
Safety barriers.
Especially with the increase in traffic on that road.
Yeah.
And there has been already lost possible life there several times.
And you're probably right, Councillor Archer. I mean the volume of traffic that's through there now, there hasn't been a lot of works under, there hasn't been any works really.
No.
Just patch jobs.
Just patch jobs. Might have.
And you've got guardrail
and even wind farm to go up.
There's a lot of attention down there.
You've got guardrails on other parts of that road, which aren't as dangerous as that area where the road's absorbed, so, you know.
So it would be interesting to know what their long-term solution for that section is, I suppose.
Well, that's a good question.
Having just been through the pillar.
That was moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Campbell. That does for that motion. Anyone against it? No? But student carried. Thanks, Dave. Okay, 7.2. Future for local government review. Antidote for your information. 7.43, let summer bushfire.
It's probably important that councillors do go to that link and have a look at when those workshops are, just as their opportunity to have this for local government. I do believe the first one's on the 22nd, starting around 5:30.
Just battling to hear you, then.
The first one, I believe, is on the 22nd of March, next Tuesday. I think from memory it starts at 5:30, but you need to register via the link.
And it's online, isn't it?
It's an online registration form, so you have to fill it out online. It's item 7.2.
And that will be obviously addressed at the GAP. Okay. 7.3 Black Summer Bushfire Recovery Grant. Adam, any comments there?
I'd probably just say there that the Deputy General Manager or the General Manager be able to sign the Black Summer, because I went in on the weekend and it's still not available in the portal, and I'm going on leave for a couple of weeks, so if I'm not here for Lynn to sign it.
Oh.
So who do we have on the recommendation? Who
authorised
who? The GM to sign?
Deputy General Manager and the General Manager.
Or the General Manager. If you are on leave.
Who's supposed to be there?
Adam is the one to put in the application, so he's automatically the one to sign it. But if he's going to be on leave, he'll get on the portal and nominate me as the signing officer. Yeah. And then that will come to my portal.
So how should number two read
it? As Adam said, the General Manager, Deputy General Manager or General Manager.
Or GM. So we add or GM in there?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Hopefully it's okay by Friday.
Could I have a moment, please? Councillor Bonner, Councillor Bailey, those four. Against, carry. 17.4.
Same there.
Same again. We were talking about talking about the multi-purpose building, will that be an add-on to, if we get all this happening, to the current NRM Men's Shed Hamilton Primary School?
It'll be a totally different complex. This would be available. We have to give this available if there is a fire or a flood or anything for people in the community to use free of charge.
Yeah, but will it be an add-on to that building as a separate?
No, it'll be down here.
Where's down here?
Just here in the caravan.
We discussed that before.
Do we? Near the caravan park.
Yeah, just the leading across the road here, but you just have a camp kitchen.
And oh, just have
new toilets and new showers and new laundry and a camp kitchen and new barbecue area.
All right, that's okay.
That'll be all knocked down.
Refresh my memory. The recommendation that council authorise the deputy general manager or GM, put that in again, to sign the Black Summer Bushfire Recovery Program. And the Modern Purpose Community Recovery Grant Agreement on board. Righty-o. Oh, move it, please. Councillor Cassidy, Councillor Honour. For, against, carried. Okie dokie. Surname 5. Here we go again, the Fly Equipment Hospital.
It's actually going
in the park.
In the park, right? Because people are bounced.
Okay, I've got a question.
Was that a move from you, Councillor Cassidy? And who seconded that? Because, right. So only go, Councillor Campbell.
I've had a request from a community group that they want to contribute to playground equipment at Bothwell. Can they top up that amount or buy?
We could buy another separate small piece to get the size. We haven't actually picked out what we're going to get with that. Originally it was decided, or it was thought, Jason believes that the slide and the current equipment down there is dangerous and needs to be removed. So that's why we put in for this grant to actually put something else there.
Yeah.
But if a community group wants to contribute something, we can just put another little...
Get them to put something in writing, Councillor.
Okay,
good idea. Thank you. Okay, that recommendation that Council authorise a general manager to sign the Black Summer Bushfire Recovery Grants Possible Play Equipment. Moved by Councillor Cassidy, second by Councillor Honour. Those for that recommendation? Is there anyone against that recommendation? That is carried and heard. 7.6, Immune Deficiencies Foundation. The three amounts, 180, 240, 360. Could I have an idea of what you're doing here, please, somebody? 240.
40.
Middle of the range.
Move Councillor Four, second Councillor Campbell. Four. Against. That is carried. Now, helicopter issue. Adam, over to you. You understand where we're coming from with this, and I have had some concerns.
The Mayor received a call, I think, a couple of weeks ago from a resident up in the Brady or Bronte area and just regarding the private helicopter landing site that's at Brady's Lake, and I believe it's still there. I think it's still operational. You can still see it from the road. I didn't actually go into the site because it is private property. But the Mayor stated that the resident said, well, maybe relocate it out to the highway, which is near this sign, which is, as you can see, we're 140 kilometres from Hobart and 150 kilometres from Strawn, so we're pretty well in the middle of Tasmania. And the land is private land near the sign here, So council would either have to lease that or buy it if they wanted to put their own helipad in, but if we wanted the state government to, then we could just write to the state government and ask them to consider putting one in. There is some hydro land next to it.
But can I just butt in for a minute, Adam? The reason I got this was, the call, was because the helicopter was a different helicopter, it was bigger and couldn't land. So they're circling around looking for landing area. Thanks, Adam.
Yeah. So there is an area just off the highway that's owned by the hydro, so it could probably be built on the hydro land, but it is very swampy in that area, so an engineer would have to consider that. But I guess all we're asking here is that the general manager write to the minister asking that they consider putting in a helicopter landing site.
Yes, that helicopter is a Bell 412 and is a much larger, much heavier helicopter than the Westpac helicopter. So it might be a good idea when you do communicate that you perhaps contact the owner-operators of their helicopter. I think it's called White Flight, I'm not 100% sure. Ask them about the dimension that they would need to land for the helicopter.
So we need a bigger area, obviously.
That's right. Yeah. Tail road has to be clear, main road of blades have to be clear. So, and also, there might be weight considerations also if it's a concrete helicopter. I just think there's a little bit of coordination that should be happening.
So do you move this recommendation and or add anything to it?
Yes, ma'am. I think it would be appropriate to be sure that we get, you know, the size and dimensions of the helicopter site.
So that's added into the recommendation?
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
The size,
clearance, you know, there can't be any wires or trees, you know, because they're like this one here. If you can see this one photo here, and the wires draped across the road, they're invisible in certain light conditions. And helicopter could actually run into them, or the tail rotor could swing around and take out the tail rotor. So I think it's a bit of coordination we need to do between Roger Yench and the owner and operators of the helicopters.
Okay. Thank you for that. Move for Councillor Cassidy the recommendation. Seconder, please.
Did you have something to say, Councillor?
Yes. When you look at the sign to Carrier Down Bridge, on the right-hand side, there is an airstrip. And it's been used for years. And they've landed caribou on it with the army. When Bondi Park School was going, we used to take the kids out there to see the army helicopters and the caribou airplanes. It is on private property, but I'm sure.
Is that the one, can I ask you, is that the one just right by the turn off the Bronte? You go the highway that way and the, yeah, it's just on the Queenstown side.
Yes.
Yeah, I know one. And there's a shed or something there. There's a sign or something.
That'd be the place.
Easy for anyone to get to.
Have you got comments on that, Adam? Are you familiar with what?
No, I don't know where they're talking about.
Where the road to Bronte turns off the highway.
Yeah.
So just on the Queenstown side of that.
On the same side of the highway.
On the same side of the Bronte turn off.
So it comes to Marlborough property.
It's Marlborough, is it? Is it Marlborough? Yeah,
it's on Marlborough.
Yes.
I saw the airstrip in there once. So it'll still be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Madam Mayor, maybe we ought to modify that to include local knowledge. That's really good, George. I wasn't aware of it.
Just tell the helicopter fella to land there.
Yeah, they can land there, no worries.
Absolutely.
So the recommendation stands as it is or not? Yes?
I think we should investigate the airstrip that Julie's talking about as well.
Can you take that on board, Adam? You've done the homework with this.
Yeah, I could just say if there's an airship, I can't really tell you much more than that. You need an aviation engineer to
decide on that. The only point is that they may need landowner permission, specific permission to a landowner.
Yeah. Hmm.
Councillor?
We seem to have this discussion every few years, but we had a bad accident on our property and they just landed in the middle of the paddock. Like, you don't need to have so much process around a helicopter landing site. So I just don't understand why we have to revisit this every few years.
Probably why this has been revisited is because we had a complaint that the helicopter was wasted valuable time trying to get an area.
And fuel. Wasted fuel.
I didn't think of fuel.
I was told
valuable time for someone in a crisis that couldn't land on a small area because he had a bigger, he or she had a bigger helicopter.
Yeah, so they might have known about the airstrip, but I don't believe you'd have to get Civil Aviation Authority approval to land a helicopter on an airstrip. I don't actually, like, you've got to take the...
Can I hear Councillor Archer, he's the only one with his hand up, thank you.
Mayor, my son's involved in the local ambulance service and there was a very nasty car accident basically at Riona and a big trip in the ambulance to get them out. They landed on the road in an area that you and I would consider to be inaccessible, but in fact no problem at all. And that person within 30 minutes was in the LGH to save their life. That's going on all the time. So I really don't know what fuss is about. I mean, they're a wonderful tool for emergencies. And I think, as Jim says, when required, they
round, found the power poles, went round down there about 100 metres.
And I'm certainly happy to support the suggestion that we use an airstrip, or they don't need anything that big, but by all means, anything that makes it easy for them, I love the idea of the emergency contact points. This fellow was so badly injured he couldn't be moved.
Yes.
Out of the car, in the ambulance, in the hospital in 30 minutes. Wonderful.
You don't need all this process.
Councillor Cassidy.
Okay. Jim, have you ever flown a helicopter? Have you ever flown a rescue helicopter? The second point that I want to make to you is that these helicopter pilots, they will do night flights, night training flights up to these locations, and they need some place to go to. Are they going to land in your paddock at the middle of the night when you're in bed? No.
Right, I'm going to read the recommendation, whether we need to change it around or not, I'm not sure. But, okay, Council sent a letter to the Honourable Michael Ferguson, the Minister for State Growth, asking that the State Government lease the private helicopter landing at 287 Brady's Lake Road, Brady's Lake, from the new owners. The Mayor sent a letter to Michael Ferguson, which focused on the State Government leasing the helicopter landing at Brady's from the new owner until State Government have constructed a new helicopter landing site in the Brady's Lake area. Within Council's record system, Adam couldn't find, and neither could I, a reply back from the Minister. The area below, may be okay for the State Government to construct a new helicopter landing in Brady's Lake. So what we're doing, we're asking the State. So with that recommendation, it was moved by Councillor Cassidy, seconded by Councillor Honour, and what I'll put forward is the recommendation. Those for that recommendation. Is there anyone against the recommendation?
So against is Councillor Orr. Well, I just reckon it would waste the Minister's time. If they wanted a helicopter site somewhere, they would put it in. They don't need it.
Anyway, it's gone through now. Councillor Orr, did you want to add something to that?
These pop-ups are absolutely awesome. If anyone knows the DMR corner at Myena, where they dumped the gravel. We had one man there at midnight at night, with only his light, and there's power lines, transformers, everything there, and he put down the helicopter, they loaded the patient in, and he took off.
Thank you. The second recommendation was that council send a letter, pretty much the same, isn't it?
Yeah, we already had one from the previous one. So we don't have to worry about that one. 17.8.
Motion from the audit panel. A recommendation that council adopt the risk management register. May I have a mover? Councillor Ford. Seconder?
Councillor Wright.
Councillor Wright?
Yeah, you want me to vote, yeah.
For? Against? All right. Any gumdrops? Anzac Services. I did talk, Alan, about this. Normally, the mayor's the MC at most of these things and delegates the deputy mayor as well. The Great Madonna Service, I usually do, and I ask for a councillor to accompany me. It's usually Councillor Bailey, sometimes Councillor Cassidy. So it'll be myself and what councillor would like to accompany me and get up at 4 in the morning. Councillor Bailey? And Philip Hamilton from the Deputy Mayor can do that again. So it's Deputy Mayor and what councillor would like to accompany Councillor Orr. And Hamilton, could we have someone go and help Councillor Orr?
No, well, I can come back again, I suppose.
Is there any other councillor that would like to take up? Right, Councillor Bailey, you're in.
I might be sober by then.
I'll
be on the run down there.
Bob Hall is usually myself and sometimes I know Councillor Campbell does a presentation.
I'll always be at that service.
Myself, Councillor Campbell, Councillor Honor, you usually do something there. Councillor Honor.
I'll be there, but I'll also be helping the lines with a few of their setups of road closure and lights.
Okay. So we've got locked in, we've got the Breton Service, it's myself, Councillor Bailey. Hamilton is the Deputy Mayor, all right, and Councillor Bailey. Bothwell is myself, Councillor Campbell, Honour and Councillor Paul's are back up if we need him. Is that correct? You're not requested to take part unless needed?
I'm happy to do it either. Myself between the pairs. So if you need me, that's fine, and I can explain the lines that I need for you. So.
Yeah, because sometimes Bridget's happy for someone to take part in presenting the book, placing the books, I should say.
I'll make another suggestion there that the Fentonbury group, they have a dawn service there now. I'd be happy to go down there if they need to, but I just think if they or want to. Katrina gave them some help last year with the order of service. Jason's going to put a couple of flagpoles up there. I think they, basically what I'm saying is I think probably Fentonbury should be on the list as well.
I think
they acknowledge that they have a service. Acknowledge that they have a service.
At least acknowledge that they have a service. Katrina prepares the order of service like she does with Hamilton News and Correct Things.
Yes, she does the same for Bronte.
And Bronte as well.
We should put Fentonbury on the list in future, the memorial and Bronte.
And there is a dawn service at Arts Light Shop this year.
Okay, so I haven't heard from them. I might, if they contact us, that'll be okay. But also, what we did last year was the council supplied reds and we included them berry.
Yeah, so that was what I was trying to capture, that we got the reef and everything.
Yep, and if you would like, councillor, all right, delegate you to do the service here.
Oh, yeah, all right, do the service here.
Yep. So, yep, and if there's any other councillor that would like to attend the dawn service at Fenton Berry, put your hand up. Nobody wants to get up early these days.
I used to go to the one in Hobart, the morning you go to the rock by lunchtime.
That's a good one, yeah. So, okay, so we've got reefs for all those places, all those different areas. We've got our MCs and councillors organised. Anything else to do with that? No, no, no. All good. Katrina's good at organising all that. 17.10 is request from Bothwell Historical Society. This is where Councillor Paul said he wouldn't take part in the recommendation.
I'll move the recommendation.
Councillor Honour.
Second.
Second by Councillor Cassidy. The general manager write to the museum in Launceston, requested a loan of a small selection of literacy and society library books. They are available for public display in Waffle with appropriate explanatory panels. So anyone against that motion? No, that is carried through. Hydro Tasmania, I've got a question mark there. Why have I got that? Oh, it's to do with Medibank. Anything on that, Adam, or is it just straight through?
No, we already got a grant, one of the fishing grants through that as well, but this is just a bit of extra money so we can upgrade like the tables that are down near the water. They did talk about building a jetty out into the water, but that's really on hydro land, not on our land. And yeah, just upgrading the little barbecue hut there, as you can see, and hopefully putting a barbecue in. But Graham reckons that the cost of getting the power to the site is quite high, because it's about 300 metres up the road.
You'd think Hydro would be able to come to some arrangement there,
wouldn't you? Yeah,
good point.
Well, they were going to give us 25,000,
weren't
they?
That'd be a roar, though, wouldn't it?
We've got enough money to pay for the power to go down there. We're going to have new toilets. We want lights in them. Toilets,
won't we?
It's probably something we'd have to do anyway. See, they have a gas one there before. I think they'd just wreck the place and steal $2 out of it. Yeah, it's crazy.
So, we need power there for sure. Councillor Cassidy.
I was going to move that, but also I'd like to ask, is it possible for lighting, especially in the toilet facilities, to have a little solar panel on the roof or whatever, and provide lights?
Yeah.
I guess whatever Graham comes up with.
Yeah.
I think he's designed it on the one at Ooze, in the park at Ooze, so the same type of toilets like the ones there.
So what's happening? Are we going to have power in the toilets or not?
Don't think so.
Okay.
But at some stage, the community might demand some upgrade facilities, so we need
more money.
The hydro I'm giving is $25,000.
Yeah, you have to get the power. Yeah.
What Alan has put in for, he's put in for the huts under the other grants and the toilets and that. So I mean, that should extend to getting the power down to the site.
I don't think the power is in the agreement. We'd have to pay for the power, so if council are happy to pay for the power, they're happy to put in the barbecue.
Well, sorry, I'm confused. What are you talking about into the $25,000
they were giving us, and they listed items that we could do, or any other item that we thought was necessary.
Yeah. So that's for power.
So I'm pretty sure they wouldn't mind if we used the power.
So do you need a motion to...
It might be $100,000.
No, I think we just need to... This motion that we sign it.
Okay, so we get the power on as well.
And I mean, with the other grant, it was $96,000, but council had to put in $20,000. So,
okay.
I mean, there's room to move.
Okay. Alrighty. Okay, council authorised the general manager to sign the Hydro Tasmania funding agreement with Dunrobin Park. Mover please, Councillor Cassidy. Councillor Honour. For, against, carried. 1712. Hearing live experience, that's it.
Some information from Legat regarding a survey that, for council's information.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have to be involved, do we, like as a council?
No.
I think it's already happened, hasn't it?
17.13, recreational or fishing and camping facilities. Mover please.
Yep.
Seconder. So it's moved by Councillor Honour, seconded by Councillor Bailey. For, against, carried. Make it a bit. Council, consider matters of the supplementary, which we have done, haven't we not?
Yeah.
Wow, we did well, right on 12:30, well done.
No, that.
Oh, just before I close?
We haven't had the police along with the council meeting sometime. Is it time to get the lady coming and have another chat with us?
It'd be nice to invite Philippa Burt along, yes. I think she's doing the division, as in our division. How about we, that be a motion, or just a, yep, motion by Councillor Campbell, second, Councillor Archer, second by Councillor Campbell.
Yeah, I'll second.
And those four, against, that is carries. And the meeting now closes at 12:33.